Chapter 15.
First year, you are late.
I reddened and bowed my head quickly, peeking out from under my bangs at the panel of disgruntled judges before me. There, just as in my dream, sat Master Barclay in the three colored robes. This was the first time I was really able to get a good look at the three mages who ruled the Council of Magic. Each of them looked almost unearthly in their magnificent robes. The gold trim seemed to shimmer brilliantly against the rays of the fading sun. The black mage of combat had been the one to address me. His head was shaved, and there were two golden hoops dangling from his right ear. He had dark skin and piercing green eyes, the kind that seemed as though they could see straight through to your soul. He was younger than I had expected, no more than 35 years at most.
"What is your name, child?"
The second person to speak was the wearer of the red robe, a beautiful blonde woman with violet eyes and full red lips. She was older than the black mage, but not by much. "Raya."
"Raya,"
said the third, a formidable older man with long brown locks and startling yellow eyes. The green mage of alchemy.
"You are the one who has given all those fancy highborns a reason to talk. Never in the history of the first year trials has a student caused so much grief or damage to our sacred academy."
I swallowed uncomfortably.
"What do you have to say for yourself?"
Master Barclay asked, watching me carefully. All eyes narrowed, and I willed myself to speak, despite the wave of nausea that was fast approaching. This would be my one chance to explain, in my own words. "I never meant to destroy that building," I said, eyes on the ground. I had only been trying to disarm Ray, the other student that I was up against. Someone once told me that I could use my pain to call on my magic. He'd warned me that it was unstable, and I wouldn't be able to control it if I tried. I forced myself to continue. But I had nothing left. No stamina, no magic, nothing. If I didn't try, I would have had to admit defeat, and I couldn't do that knowing there was still something I could use. I knew the armory was off limits, and I knew it went terribly wrong, but I had to try. I glanced at the colored robes, desperation in my eyes. "If you want something as badly as I do, you can't give up. I'm sure each of you had a moment like that, where you had to make a choice, and you chose your robe, no matter the consequences."
"You impaled yourself on a sword,"
Master Barclay said dryly. "I would do it again, 1,000 times over if I thought it would help." I couldn't help feeling less confident than my words. It was the only way I could access my magic. I thought of Darren's warning so many months before. Better to lose a limb than a battle.
"You are a fool," the red mage told me shortly. "It wasn't a limb you almost lost. It was your life, and the life of that boy you were with, all for a trial."
"A powerful fool,"
the black mage corrected, smiling behind the palm of his hand.
"She could rival the prince in that outburst."
The green mage chuckled.
"Until she kills herself in the process."
"True,"
the black mage acknowledged. The three glanced to Master Barclay, and he cleared his throat.
"We shall now begin the second portion of your trials, Raya. You will have 20 minutes to address 3 questions, all concerning the art of strategy in combat."
I returned to my barracks much later that evening, feeling confident, confused, half sick, and half mad. The trial had only lasted 1/2 hour, but the questions the judges had asked left me reeling in self-doubt. Had my answers been good enough? I thought they had. I'd cited several battles for each scenario they had given me. I'd weighed the resources, the weather, the landscape, and the politics of each situation to the one approach I thought would best suit their needs. I'd considered all the right questions. Was it a full-scale invasion, or was it better just to send a small regiment to conduct the mission? Was it on our homeland, or in a neighboring country? For each question they had asked, I'd had 1,000,000 queries of my own. I'd been desperate to show the product of my endless nights in the library, and even more frantic to prove I was more than the reckless first year they had seen during the first half of my trials.
"You could still win this."
Could I? The next 2 days were the longest of my life. I spent the time in restless wonder, following my friends around the small town of Jaca
and trying not to think about what lay ahead.
"It's in the hands of the gods now,"
Alex declared, as Ella and I followed him into the town's bakery. Ella bought us each a sticky bun, and we exited the fragrant shop licking the honeyed sugar off our fingers. We had 5 more hours before the naming ceremony, all of us trying to pretend the trepidation did not bother us as much as it did.
"I'm surprised your adoring fans haven't stolen you away from us today,"
Ella told my brother. She'd intended for her comment to come off lightly, but the slight resentment in her tone had destroyed any pretense of indifference.
"I told them to find a new hero," he said easily.
"It was off-putting to have so many beautiful ladies returning my favor,"
Ella scowled.
"Well, I hope you don't regret that later, when you are alone with your jokes and no one to listen."
"Oh, I won't be alone," he said, winking at me.
I rolled my eyes and walked ahead, letting the two of them return to their silly banter. I wasn't sure how I would feel if Alex started to court my best friend, but I had finally decided it wasn't my decision to make. Entering the town's apothecary, I found my parents discussing the merits of witch hazel with the frazzled shop owner while my younger brother raced over to greet me.
"Raya!"
Derek's eyes were as big as saucers.
"We didn't see you at all yesterday. Ella said you locked yourself in the barracks."
I gave a small smile. I was wallowing in self-pity, but I am done now. He beamed.
"Good, because today you are going to get a black robe."
I raised a brow. "Apprentices don't get robes until they graduate."
"Aha, so you do think you'll be apprenticed."
I shook my head. "I don't want you to get your hopes too high, brother. I lost my first trial, in case you have already forgotten." Derek didn't bat an eye.
"Just because you didn't win doesn't mean you're disqualified."
I ruffled his hair. "You always were my biggest fan."
"Raya."
I turned and saw Clayton standing in the middle of the doorway. He looked nervous. My stomach fell. I had been evading Clay ever since he'd introduced me to his parents. I didn't know how to let him down nicely, and so, while it was petty, I had figured the best way was to avoid him as much as possible. After all, we only had one more day at the academy. One day, and then we'd never have to have the awkward conversation to begin with.
"Too late,"
my brother snickered. I slammed the ball of my heel into his foot. Derek yelped and then hopped away to join our parents at the back of the store, shooting me a mean look.
"How are you, Clayton?"
I quickly busied myself with one of the charms on the counter.
"Better now."
I cringed and fiddled with the locket until his big hand closed softly around my own. I looked up to meet Clayton's gaze. An uncomfortable silence passed between us.
"Raya, I like you."
"Well, isn't that just precious?"
A sneering female voice drawled behind us. Jumping, I saw Darren and Priscilla standing in the doorway. My pulse stopped.
"Oh, please don't stop on our account,"
the venomous girl continued, one arm wrapped tightly around the prince's waist.
"This will be our last chance to see two lowborns before we go on to our apprenticeship. Darren and I need a good laugh, don't we, my sweet?"
Darren's eyes fell to Clayton's and my interlocked hands. They were unfathomable.
"Yes, I believe we do."
My throat became unbearably dry.
"Just because you don't know happiness is no reason to spoil ours,"
Clayton told Priscilla irritably. She laughed loudly.
"Come, Darren, we've got to return to the castle in time for me to dress."
She put her hand lightly to his chest and whispered loudly,
"I have something special to wear. I had it especially picked out for tonight's occasion."
Her eyes fell to me, and she smiled, saying the next words carefully.
"It will be the perfect opportunity to announce our betrothal."
My eyes flew to Darren. He was a stone, not one emotion flickering across his face as the world came crashing down before mine. The prince and Priscilla left the store. I stared after the spot they had stood long after they had disappeared.
"Raya, is something wrong?"
I felt as if someone had ripped my lungs right out of my chest. I was sad, angry, confused, and I had no right to be.
"I am sorry, Clay," I swallowed. "I can't return your favor."
Clayton's face burned red. He dropped my hand with a sneer.
You are a fool if you think Darren will ever notice you.
The boy didn't wait for a response. He stalked out of the shop indignantly. Alex and Ella observed the boy's dramatic exit from the street and then came running to find out what had happened.
What did you say to him?
Alex stared after his friend, confused.
You finally told Clay you didn't return his sentiment, Ella said.
It wasn't a question. Derek returned from the back of the shop, grinning.
Raya said it right after that mean girl told her she was engaged to the prince.
What does that half-wit's engagement have to do with anything?
Alex demanded. Ella's eyes shot to my own, and I looked away, unwilling to acknowledge her unspoken question. I'd told her about my tower encounter days before, and while she was not yet convinced Darren's magic had saved her years ago, she had acknowledged the possibility that the prince was not as horrible as we had initially assumed. While Darren claimed to have helped me in friendship, she knew I had hoped there was more to it. Clearly, there wasn't.
Much later that evening, Ella and I were standing before our reflection in the looking glass of our barracks quarters. She had lent me one of her many dresses for the occasion, a deep blue gown that would capture the gray blue of my eyes. It was even more spectacular than her dress at solstice. I tried to tell her that it didn't matter what I wore, but she was of a different opinion.
This is a night to be proud,
Ella declared brazenly as she helped brush out my scarlet red locks.
Whether our names are called or not, we completed a year where others have failed. That is not something anyone can take away from us.
We finished dressing, and I linked my arm in Ella's as we exited the barracks. Outside, Alex was waiting for us, looking handsome in the same clothes he had worn for the solstice.
Ready?
His eyes shone unusually bright as he took my friend's arm.
There's no going back now.
The three of us began our slow march down the path to the academy. We greeted our families at the door and continued ahead of them as we made our way to the grand atrium. The place was packed from the hundreds of faces standing all around, and as one of the last groups to arrive, we were forced to wait at the back of the room. At every pillar of the atrium, giant torches of crystalline blue flame flickered magnificently. At the center loomed the enormous stairwell and its many-paned window with the stunning view of the Jaca Sea. Standing right before it were Master Barclay, the Three, Sir Piers, Masters Eloise, Isaac, Cedric, Acilia, and Nahari. At the base of the stairs, King Lucius and his two sons stood expectantly, all dressed in their choice colors and fitted cloaks. Priscilla stood close beside them, looking resplendent in a red and gold dress fitted in rubies that flared dramatically at its base. She and Darren's arms were linked, much like mine had been moments before with Ella and Alex. I swallowed at the sour taste in my mouth and forced my gaze to remain at the top of the stair. Minutes later, Constable Barria squeezed his way through the crowd and up the well to stoop beside the master of the academy. He whispered something, and the man cleared his throat expectantly. A hushed silence fell over the room.
I have waited a very long time for this moment, Master Barclay announced. 10 months ago, 122 naive young faces stood in this very room. I told them that half would not make it past the first few months. I told them that they would make no friends. I told them that they were wasting my time.
He scans the audience, letting the effects of his words sink in.
I did everything I could to encourage them to pack their bags and leave the very next day. When that did not work, I had Sir Piers and Master Cedric take them out to the mountains with the sole purpose that they were not to return until we had lost the first 5. I celebrated with a ball when half the class resigned, and I have continued to parade their loss until we were left with the 43 standing in front of us now. The 43 first years in this room are the culmination of everything a true mage should be. While they may not have the potential necessary to continue their studies, these young men and women represent the effort and dedication I strive to maintain during my reign at this academy. With that, I'd like to call forward the 15 who will be continuing on to the exalted apprenticeships that the Council and Crown are so proud to bestow.
Master Barclay pulled a tightly rolled scroll from his robes, and Barius held his torch close so that the formidable man could read from his list.
For alchemy, I call forward Piper, Julian, Thomas, Ruth, and Damien.
The 5 first years rushed forward. I barely caught a glimpse of my sprightly friend as she raced up the stairwell and shook the hand of Barclay and the masters, one by one. When the commotion had finished and the clapping had ceased, Master Barclay had the 5 new apprentices of alchemy stand across the right rail of the ascending staircase.
"In the faction of restoration, I would like to invite Ronan, Alexander."
My twin turned ghastly white. If Ella hadn't been there to steady him, I am sure he would have fainted. When she finally released him, he was looking up at the stairs with the biggest eyes I had ever seen. Ella had to gently nudge him forward before he actually began to move.
"Kira, Muriel, and Kayleen, to the stand."
Barclay watched as the 5 fumbling first years found their way up the steps to shake hands and then stand at the left spiral of the stairs.
"And finally, for the faction of combat, among the 22 young men and women that beat out all odds, I welcome Prince Darren."
The young man with eyes as dark as night itself stepped forward.
"Eve."
The small girl pushed her way through the crowd to join the non-air at the top of the steps.
"Ella."
My friend screamed and ran forward. There were a couple of laughs among the audience.
"Ray."
My opponent from the first trial nodded solemnly and found his way to the center of the dais.
"And finally, for the last apprenticeship of the evening."
My heart stopped. I knew it was foolish to hope, especially when Master Barclay still hadn't called her name. But I still held on. More than anything, I wanted the master of the academy to say mine.
"Lady Priscilla of Langley."
I watched as she ascended the steps. I watched as her dress glistened along the dais. I even watched as she accepted Master Barclay's outstretched hand. The girl smiled prettily, shaking the hands of the masters to her right, and that was when the piercing jealousy tore its way across my chest. It continued to bury itself as Priscilla took her place beside the prince. I could feel hot tears starting to pour down my face, but I was powerless to stop them. The final 5 apprentices stood just below Master Barclay, facing their audience on the center stair. A slow clapping started. It continued on and on until the room was a thundering storm of applause. A hand slid in to grip my own, and I looked down to see my younger brother. Derek said nothing. He just held my hand tightly, letting me grieve amongst the clamor of excited voices. I would be happy for my friends, for my twin, but this moment was too soon. Alex, Ruth, and Ella were somewhere up there with the other 12 apprentices, living out their wildest dreams. I was not. And it hurt more than words could tell. Master Barclay motioned for everyone to settle down so that he could start a speech.
"Let us all congratulate our newest order of apprentices."
I could not stay any longer. It was too much. I turned to leave, letting go of Derek's hand to exit the crowd.
"Master Barclay."
The voice of the black mage was urgent. The master of the academy sounded irate.
"Yes, what is it, Marius?"
"My colleagues and I would like to invite one more to take the stand."
I froze, slowly turning to see the master of the academy give the black mage a strange look.
"We already have our 15.
"Yes," the man agreed, "but I am enacting my right as a member of the council to include another apprentice in today's ceremony."
"But it has always been 15.
"In the beginning, it was more."
The black mage stepped forward to face the crowd and address his startled audience.
"But it was too many. Too little magic. We lost more lives than we gained. Yet, it has always been acknowledged that the number could change, should others arise with the potential we require."
He pulled back his hood so that everyone could hear his next words clearly.
"And I believe today to be that day."
I couldn't breathe. It was too much to hope. I'd never considered the possibility.
"My dearest Raya."
The black mage found me in the audience with a grin.
"Will you please join me as the final apprentice of combat?"
My heartbeat fell to the floor. I stood motionless, afraid that if I moved for even a second, the dream would end.
"Raya!"
Derek was tugging on my arm.
"Raya, you've got to get up there!"
"This is real." The audience fell silent as I walked forward, and the sea of people slowly parted to let me approach the steps. As I drew forward, I caught sight of Alex's grin. Ella was beaming. I could also see the loathing in Priscilla's eyes. As I passed the prince, Darren gave the slightest nod, the barest semblance of a smile on his lips. His eyes danced as they met mine, and I realized suddenly that the answer to his earlier question was yes. Yes, the non-heir was a friend. It didn't matter that he was betrothed. My feelings didn't matter one bit, because there had been no shock in his eyes when I had climbed the stair just now. Darren, Prince Darren, the sometimes bane of my existence, had put faith in a future that even I had never bothered to foresee. Trembling, I took the hand of the black mage and then continued across the line. Eventually, I finished shaking the master's hands and returned to my spot at the end of the row, right beside Ella. Master Barclay strode forward to address the audience. Again.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the 16 apprentices of our academy. Please give them the applause they deserve.
This time when the clapping and shouting started, it never stopped.